It's a real joy to be with Oak Grove Church this weekend. I'd like to say on behalf of all of us who are visiting that we deeply appreciate your hospitality and your the wonderful meal last night, this comfortable building. Appreciate the fellowship we have with one another in our Lord Jesus Christ. And I thoroughly enjoyed the preaching last night. It was, it blessed me. And I hope all of you were blessed as well. And I appreciated those dear brothers last night being so mindful of each other with the time. We talked about that going home. And I've often said that in an ordination service for a preacher, one thing that needs to be pointed out is how to tell time. Especially in a meeting like this. We don't want to infringe on the other brother's time, and we don't want to wear the people out. Elder Byrd used to tell me that when he was a young man, if he didn't have good liberty, he never stood over an hour and a half. But those times were very different. But I hope you'll pray for me as our brother James has, as I endeavor to preach to you some this morning. I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 17, to an experience in the life of the Apostle Paul in the city of Athens, Greece. He had gone there to meet a couple of other young ministers. And while he was there, he went to Mars Hill. And I want to begin reading in verse 22. Acts 17 and 22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, "You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious." This brother was not timid. He was bold. He said, "You're too superstitious." And this was on Mars Hill, where the Stoics and the Epicureans were, where the highly intellectuals were in Athens. "For as I passed by, I beheld your devotions. I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" Now, I'm sure there were many inscriptions in Athens, and they worshipped many gods and goddesses. They had a lot of gods and goddesses in Greece, Rome, Egypt, Babylon. But here is something that really caught the Apostle Paul's eye: "To the unknown God." Now, it doesn't say "to the unknown gods." I've heard people say, now, they mention that for fear that they might have overlooked a god. Well, if that were true, it seems to me they would have said "to the unknown gods." But I think this verse indicates to me that there was a God that they knew about. They knew Him in their hearts, but they didn't know anything about Him in their minds. And so they had put up this inscription or altar, "To the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." And he tells us who it is they're worshiping ignorantly. He's going to declare Him to them. "Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship." Now, again, that's bold, isn't it? He's telling them, "You all are ignorantly worshiping. Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein." Now, if Paul had been in a Jewish synagogue, I don't think he would have gone back to Genesis 1 and told them about the creation, because the Jews had the Old Testament, and they believed in the creation account. But Paul is in Athens, in pagan country. So he begins with the creation. "I'm going to tell you all about this God. And he begins with his creation. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. You know, the Romans believed that the Christians were atheists because they didn't have temples. They just met in houses or in open meetings, and the Romans concluded they can't be religious. They don't even have a temple to meet in. Well, there is no description in the New Testament for us building church houses. We could have a church meeting out under the trees or in your house, just as it wouldn't be as convenient as this building, but the church is not the building. The church is made up of the people and the doctrine and practice of the church. So Paul begins by telling them about God creating the heaven and the earth. And so I want to go back just a moment to that statement, to the unknown God. Brother Danny pointed out last night that we are blessed to know the truth about how God saves sinners. And that's a wonderful blessing, isn't it? But I want to say to you all this morning, there's a lot about God that's unknown to us. The Bible says that if all had been written that could have been written, the world wouldn't hold it. And I used to think, that's probably an exaggeration. That's just hyperbole. But the more I think about what God did in the creation, if God had written books to tell us how he made the heaven and the earth, it probably would just fill the earth. Can you imagine what could have been written about the sun itself and all that goes in to make it up and its schedule? What about when God made the moon and all the stars? If he described every star, and he could, and we were told there's billions of them, he could tell you how big it is, the circumference of every star, and its name. We're talking about God here. And so Paul is going to begin telling these Athenians who know God in their hearts, but they don't understand him in their minds. He said, he made the heaven and the earth. Now, beloved, I would say this morning that the greatest, probably the most important thing in your life and my life is what we believe about what? About the government? About one another? Those are trivial compared to knowing about God. What you and I believe about God is the most important thing in our lives. It's vital to our lives to have a proper understanding of God. Now, how do we learn about God? Well, nature tells us a lot about him. David said in Psalm 19, the heavens declare something. What do the heavens declare? The glory of God. And the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. David said, when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. David apparently went out on a beautiful starlit night in Israel and looked up into the starry heavens and saw the majesty and glory of God. How many of us really consider God's handiwork just on a daily basis, just spend a little time considering God's creation? We have a back porch on our house that overlooks Oak Mountain. I tell people it's my favorite room in our house. I mean, it's a million-dollar view of Oak Mountain. It's beautiful. And we've got bird feeders. And the birds and the hummingbirds come and feed. And I can sit there in the morning and I can just hear a glorious sermon about God. How many of us really spend much time considering God? David said, when I consider thy heavens. When you're considering something, you just don't glance at it and go on. You sit down and think about it. You meditate on it. David said, the heavens declare the glory of God. And even our Savior, when He was teaching us to live the carefree life, and how many of us are living carefree today? How many of y'all are ever stressed out? How many of y'all have been stressed this morning? All week. How long has it been since you haven't been stressed? Well, Jesus is teaching us how to live the stress-free life. And you know what He does? He points us to the lilies and to the birds. And Jesus says, consider the lilies. There used to be a sister there at Trail Branch that had a yard full of all kinds of lilies. And I told her, I said, dear sister, you got several hundred preachers in your yard just teaching you not to care, not to worry, not to fret. The lilies, consider the lilies. Consider the sparrows. Who's taking care of all that? We have a beautiful zoo in Birmingham, Alabama, and they're always asking for money. Because it costs a lot of money to feed all those animals and maintain them. Who takes care of all the animals in Africa? South America? Who takes care of the fish in the oceans? How many of y'all know that? God takes care of them. And I want to tell you, if you want to know more about God, look at God's handiwork in nature. And that's one reason I think the world wants to teach the theory of evolution, because they want to rob God of His glory in creation. But we believe that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Let's go back a moment to Genesis chapter 1. Let's go back to the start. And I'm watching the clock, so... And I was going to say, if I go over 30 minutes, somebody raise their hand, but I don't want y'all watching your clock now. Elder Byrd was at this meeting one time, and a brother was sitting on the front row, and he didn't like Brother Byrd, and he kept looking at his watch. And finally, Brother Byrd said, "Brother, what time is it?" Brother Byrd was an old man. He could get by with a lot. I'm getting there. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, God, listen to that. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. What a glorious preamble to Scripture. What verse would you have chosen to open the revelation of God? That's it right there, in the beginning. You know, Herbert Spencer, who was a scientist and a very intellectual man, I don't know that I would recommend a lot about him, but he said one time that the universe is made up of time and force and activity and space and matter. Well, did you know you got all five of those right here in the opening verse of God's Word? In the beginning, that's time. You know, before the beginning there was eternity, and God is in eternity. Time is a creation of God. There hasn't always been time. Time had a beginning. In the beginning, not in the beginning of God, but in the beginning of time. God. Now that's force right there. A God of all power. In the beginning, God created. There is activity. And then He says the heaven, that's space, Earth, that's matter. And God put all of that right there in the first verse. And I want to tell you this morning, beloved, we ought to be teaching our children while they're in the cradle, there is a God and He created the heaven and the earth, because they're going to be blasted with false teaching in our schools. I want to tell you, these days, I'm afraid a lot of schools are more interested in indoctrinating than they are in educating. And you've got to have your children with the girdle of truth so that they can withstand those that would mislead them in this matter. So, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God teaches us a lot about Himself in the natural creation. But I want to say to you all this morning, aren't y'all glad God has given us this book? There's so much about God in this book that nature could never teach you. This book tells us that our God loved us before the foundation of the world and chose us in Jesus Christ. Nature just doesn't teach you that. Now, nature tells you a lot about God. It tells me one thing, that the God that created this universe has got all power. You just think about it. How we get carried away with our little things that we do. You know, in the book of Genesis chapter 1, 6 times God said, and it was what? Come on now. This is early in the morning. Y'all got to be paying attention. God said 6 times, and it was good. Everything He did was good. And on the last day, He says, it's very good. I get the impression God was enjoying creating the universe. He was happy doing it. It pleased Him to create the heaven and the earth. So, beloved, this creation teaches us that God is good. The earth is full of His goodness. A lot of dumb people turn the news on first thing in the morning. I'm afraid I'm guilty. I've quit doing that, by the way. It was hard. I was a news hound. But I want to tell you, I try to start my mornings off now in the Word of God, fellowshipping with God in prayer. That just kind of creates a carefree environment. God is good. There's not much out there among men that's good, but I want to tell you, God is sovereign, and God is good, and God is all wise. A God that designed this universe and created it, where did He go to school to learn all that? It's just in His nature. God is. He came from nowhere. He's going nowhere. He is the great I Am. How many of y'all believe that about God today? I want to tell you, you can't believe that just in the flesh. You can't even begin to think about it or comprehend it. But by faith, we believe that God framed the creation out of nothing. He just created it out of nothing. So, the Bible tells us a lot about God that nature does not teach us. And I want to just say this morning, the Bible teaches us that God has a covenant people. He chose them before the foundation of the world. He loved them with a perfect love, and He sent His Son into this world 2,000 years ago to die for the sins of the elect family so that God can have them all with Him in glory someday. Now I want to tell you, beloved, that is to me the key of holy revelation, that God loves us and He gave His Son to die for us on the cross. Last night one of the brothers said, it's all about Jesus. Well, I'll say amen to that. It's all about Him. These songs are full of praises to Him. How would y'all like for us to sing this morning, How Great Sam Is? Come on now. Just one verse. Can't even get them to sing one verse. Well, I want to tell you, we sing about how great He is all the time. Who gets tired of it? I want to tell you, church is about worship. We sung a moment ago, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. You know, I love Oak Grove Church. I've been coming here since I was a little boy. My dad was a member here until he passed away. He joined here, kept his membership here. And so we came a lot when I was a little boy. And I heard about Elder Ghost, and some of you have heard of him. He was a very bold preacher from Tennessee. He was here one time and out in the yard visiting with the brethren. And they were out there talking about cotton and corn and sports. And they came in and sung that song. And Brother Goshen got up to preach and he said, "I don't believe y'all are here to worship. Y'all are here to talk about cotton and corn." Now he was bold. I didn't say that. I'm just quoting Elder Goshen. Y'all do understand that. But we are here primarily to worship God. And we do it over and over and over and over and over. For a lifetime. And it just gets sweeter and sweeter as the years go by. And this book that God has given us tells us so much about our God and how He came into the world and was born of the Virgin and lived a perfect sinless life in that body for 33 years and then offers it up to God as a sacrifice for the sins of God's elect family. I want to tell you, beloved, you and I need to spend a lot of time at the cross. We need to spend a lot of time viewing the crucified Savior. How many of us today, by faith, can stand right here or in this building this morning and look across 20 centuries and go back to that hill called Calvary and look at a 33-year-old man dying for us? Now, I can understand how the world would look at that and say, "How can a dying man help anybody? Look at him. He's pitiful. He's hanging up there on naked chains. He's crowned with thorns to mock his kingship. He's covered with spit. Look at him. He's a disgrace to the human race. Even the Romans couldn't tolerate him." That's what the natural mind would tell you about Jesus. But the gospel tells us, in the words of Paul, "God forbid that I glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." And I want to tell you this morning, you and I ought to be glorying in His sacrificial death for us on the cross. How many books could be written about that? You know, God just chose one chapter in the Bible to tell us how He created the universe. What do you reckon? How much room would it take if God told us everything about Jesus? I look forward to being in heaven, leaving time and going into eternity and seeing Him face to face. And I suspect we'll spend eternity learning about Him. The Word of God teaches us that He's crucified, but it tells us something else about Him. It tells us that 3 days after His crucifixion, He arose again. How many of us this morning look at Him not just as the crucified Savior, but as the risen Lord? You see, the Bible tells us He's not only Savior, He is Lord. Now, I want to just go back over to a text this morning and try to close. We used to have a brother at Vestavia that counted my closings. And when I got up to 4, I said, "I'm not ever going to say I'm going to close again unless I close." So I'm going to close with this verse. Let's look at it in 1 Peter chapter 5, where the apostle Paul would tell us about our glorious Savior and what He is doing for us today in this earth. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Listen, please. "Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls." Listen to that. Commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. You and I can commit our souls unto a faithful Creator. Brother Danny last night talked about how faithful God is. Let me tell you, He is a faithful Creator. He's maintaining this universe until this hour. I'll tell you a very humbling thought. Did you know that if all men and women on this planet just disappeared, did you know the planet Earth could just carry right on without us? How many of y'all think God's creation needs us? How many of y'all help the sun come up in the morning? How many of y'all cause the seeds to actually germinate? That's kind of humbling, isn't it? The whole planet could get along very well without us. Because God is a faithful Creator. He takes care of the creation. And I want to tell you, you and I need to commit the keeping of our souls to Him. Amen. Trust in Him with all of our hearts. Lean not to our own understanding. You know, that's the carefree life right there. It really is, beloved. I tell you, the world out there, if you just listen, they'll fill you with so much trouble. You know, how y'all enjoying this weather right now? Wasn't that something? Got down here to Georgia's 103 before we got here. Last night, it was just wonderful. Now, you watch the weather, and they will admit, yeah, it's nice right now, but you just wait. And then they'll tell you where it is not good anywhere else in the world. And there's people around us that'll tell us, you just wait, Brother Sam. This isn't going to last. Yeah, but let's enjoy it while it is lasting. You see, when you're worrying about bad times coming, you worry about them before they get here. When they get here, you worry about them. That's worrying twice. Why don't we just relax? I say it's so enlightening to lighten up. You say, now, not in a troubled world like ours, Brother Sam. We supposed to be burdened. No, the Bible says, cast all your care on Him. Why? He cares for you. He loves you. And anybody who causes you to doubt God's love, you just take them to the cross and show them it was His love that held Him there. The law demanded His death, but love planned it. And I can't explain all the troubles that are in this world and why God suffers them to be. But one thing I know is this. It's not because He doesn't love us. I know that much. We just live in a broken, messed up world. But we're on our way to a better world. The Bible tells us about another world. A heavenly world. And I want to tell you, you and I just need to lighten up. And as we lighten up, we begin to help light up the world around us. I was with Brother Sonny Piles the other day. Bless his heart. He's feeble now, but he came to Birmingham and he preached as good as I've ever heard him. 30 minutes. It was shocking. That man could preach for 5 hours and never take a break. I mean, with his knowledge, but it was amazing. And he said to me, he said to the people when he got up to preach, he said, you know, he said, when you're around some people, they just bring the best out of you. I was hoping he was talking about me, but I don't know. But he said, you know, there's some people you can just be around them and they just pull the best out of you. There's other people just pull you down. Because everything's bad and it's fixing to get a lot worse. Is that living by faith? Is that committing our lives to God? You say, Brother Sam, you just don't know the trouble I'm in. No. But I want to tell you about a God that cares for you. And He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. And His grace is sufficient for you. If I could just get everybody in this house today, including myself, to remember that, my trip down here would be worthwhile. Let's cast our care on Him. He cares for us. Thank you all for your good attention.